This is WBAA. I'm Greg Kustrapa. Nick Palmer and Jose Valencia will conduct the Lafayette Symphony Orchestra in their annual Keller Concert this Saturday evening at 7:30 at the Long Center. The program features winners of the Keller competition, pianist Christina Shee, soprano Eliza Germond, and violinist Anne Mozina. Plus, the orchestra has some young musicians as well joining the musicians of the LSO. It's a side-by-side concert as well. A lot of young talent along with the LSO this weekend. Nick Palmer's in the studio to talk about the program. Great to have you here, Nick.
It's always a pleasure, Greg.
Let's talk about the Keller competition itself. It's been going on for a number of decades now, and a lot of great young musicians have performed with the orchestra.
Yes, and it's a very exciting thing for us. It's one of those really, really enjoyable things that we do because it gives us an opportunity to work with really talented young musicians as soloists and also, as you mentioned, in the side-by-side component of the concert where they sit with our professional musicians. So it's a win-win all the way around. And again, it offers young students in the community an opportunity to perform with the orchestra either as a soloist or as an orchestral musician. And we get to play really great repertory. We always structure this concert around, let's say, gems of the repertory, well-known pieces, because those are things that I think the students enjoy performing, and it gives them the experience of playing standard repertory.
Right. A lot of great romantic, particularly, repertoire this time around. Berlioz, Saint-Saëns, Borodin. When you pick those pieces, are you picking them not only because their popularity, but also do you have other aspects of it that you get involved with?
Yeah, I think part of it, too, is just the excitement factor. We want music that's really going to grab not only the students, but also the audience members. As you mentioned, I think everything's from the Romantic period. And we have a lot of operatic excerpts. So they are telling a story, certainly with Roman Carnival, Danse Bacchanale, and the Polovetsian dances. There's a real story. And the two arias that we will be hearing are both from Romeo and Juliet operas, one by Bellini, one by Gounod. So there's a lot of richness and vitality and resonance, I think, in these pieces for young people.
Now, you talk about telling a story, and you start with the Roman Carnival overture of Berlioz, which is, what, a musical depiction of a Roman carnival, right?
Pretty much, yeah. And it's from an opera by Berlioz that we don't hear an awful lot, but it's based on the autobiography of Benvenuto Cellini, who was a famous goldsmith in Florence and worked at the Ponte Vecchio. And it's just a very, very exciting piece. It also shows Berlioz's talent for orchestration and shows, even though the harmonic language is more closely related to somebody like Beethoven, it takes orchestration in a really new direction. He gives a big solo to the English horn, which is an instrument that had really just joined the orchestra, really, in his Symphonie Fantastique, which was a little bit before the opera Benvenuto Cellini. He features the violas very prominently, which is a new thing as well. The violas prior to that time had just been playing the bass line, uses lots of percussion. And his style of writing is almost extemporaneous. I mean, the way he develops the melodies, and it sort of harkens toward what French composers were going to be doing later in the 19th century, and the way they would split up phrases and make them their own. And you can always tell a French piece because it doesn't sound anything like the, you know, much more strophic and organized Mozartian, Beethoven, you know, Germanic tradition pieces. French music is very, very unusual. And Berlioz was one of the first at really expanding the genre of symphonic music.
And then after that vibrant overture come the soloists. And the first one, Christina Shee, is a sixth grader at Happy Hollow School. She'll be playing the first movement of the Mendelssohn Piano Concerto in D minor.
Absolutely remarkable talent, as all three of the young women are. And the Mendelssohn is a very dramatic piece as well. We tend to think of music and the key of the music when we're talking about classical and romantic music as being very important. And I think Mozart was one of the first composers to start that concept. And when the piece is in the key of D minor, you know it's going to be very dramatic and sometimes dark, but have a lot of energy to it. And that's the way this concerto is. And it's a great piece for her to play as well, because it shows her fire and talent and technical ability.
Then we have a couple of arias by Bellini and then Gounod as well. You talk about telling a story. Here we're actually not just telling a story just in music, but with words as well. The soloist is Eliza Germond.
And she is doing a wonderful job, has a real talent for expressing the words, which is what a real opera singer does, and she is. How do you get those words across in an emotional way that will grab the audience? Because, you know, both of the arias, especially the Bellini, is very simple. And so it's how you turn a phrase and how you use the word and how you express the text. It's a beautiful aria. And then, of course, we have the Gounod, which is a lot flashier, French, a completely different style. The first one is very sad, and the second one is very exuberant and outgoing. So nice contrast.
And then we go back to Mendelssohn, not the piano concerto this time, the first movement of the violin concerto with Anne Mozina as soloist.
Right, and we're very excited to have Anne with us as well. And Anne is a terrific musician who has a really big piece to play. It's one of the stalwarts of the violin concerto repertory, very complex to play, and not just because of the technical things that happen in it, but again, because of the way the piece needs to be expressive. So it's a nice counterweight with the Mendelssohn D minor piano concerto, because they're both first movements and they both have a lot to showcase the talents of these great young people.
And then after intermission, you will not come back on the stage.
No.
Instead, Jose Valencia will lead the second half of the program. People that go to orchestra concerts regularly probably know Jose not as a conductor, though.
That's right. He is our assistant concertmaster, so he sits right next to our concertmaster, Alfred Abel. But he is an extremely accomplished conductor who has worked with several orchestras and is currently the music director of the Kokomo Symphony and Orchestra Project in Indianapolis, which is a group dedicated to new music. So he has been working for the past several weeks with our young people who are part of the side-by-side element of the concert in preparing them. He will be leading the orchestra with the young people in the side-by-side roles. They're performing on the Berlioz Overture and then on the second half of the concert, not on the Keller pieces. So the first piece is the Das Bacchanal from Samson and Delilah, which is a real orchestral showpiece, especially features our wind section very prominently.
And then the program wraps up with the beloved and ever-popular Polovetsian dances of Borodin from the opera Prince Igor. And you were talking about the difference between French music and German music, kind of the ebullient French and the more organized, I think was the word you used, German music. Mm-hmm. How does the Russian music at the end fit in, more in the French tradition or in the German?
No, it's a little of both. And it's interesting because at the time when these Russian operas were being written, Russia was dominated by Europeans. And a lot of the composers writing opera prior to this time were Italian. And the impresarios were German. And the singers, you know, they were from many, many different countries. But it was at the time of Borodin when the Mighty Five emerged. They were all, we'll call them dilettante composers, because they all had something else to do besides write music. And Borodin in particular was a chemist. So he wrote music on, you know, in his spare time, but wrote in a very creative way that really utilizes Russian folk song. So it's nothing like the other musics, except that there's a real creativity in the orchestration.
Which would fit with Berlioz, right?
Yeah. Also, Rimsky-Korsakov, who was one of his associates, who really was a composer that was very focused on the sound of the orchestra and how to create as many different sounds as you possibly can. So you hear things like collegno, which is when the strings just kind of hit the bow onto the strings in a percussive way. So there's a lot of really cool things that happen in the Borodin as well. And it's a very, very energetic, very exciting way to end a concert. If you buy your tickets by Thursday, you can get 2-for-1 on the tickets. These can be purchased on our website, LafayetteSymphony.org, or by calling us at our box office. And our phone number is 765-742-6463. Also, they can look us up on Facebook. We've had a lot of traffic on Facebook recently, and that is a way to if you'd like more information.
Nicholas Palmer, thanks so much.
Always a pleasure.
Nicholas Palmer and Jose Valencia teaming up to lead the Lafayette Symphony Orchestra in their annual Keller Concert Saturday evening at 7:30 at the Long Center. Ticket information is at 742-6463 or at the orchestra's website, lafayettesymphony.org. I'm Greg Kostraba.